My name is Bill Ziprich, and I'd like to invite you to come along and explore with me the journey that God took me on when I came from Adventism into the full glory of the freedom of the gospel. I was a third-generation Adventist, and my grandpa was a conference president and a preacher up in Canada. And I grew up mostly in the Loma Linda area, was a junior deacon at the University Church by around age 14, and pretty much went through Adventist schools, all exclusively, all the way into law school, went to UCLA. I married a beautiful Adventist lady, Sally, right down there in the front. And to her credit, she wasn't quite as good as an Adventist as I was. She always had a little bit more trouble with the rules, such as like at boarding school. She could never kind of keep straight which days the sidewalks here were for boys and which day they were for girls, and she was always ending up on the wrong sidewalks. After practicing law for a few years at a law school, I became one of the West Coast legal counsel for the General Conference. And a few years later, that evolved into our firm becoming general counsel to the Loma Linda University Medical Center and to the whole healthcare system at Loma Linda. After a few more years, my wife and I, we moved about 45 minutes away from Loma Linda, even though I commuted back and forth to work. Then we joined a small Adventist church out there. And we got fairly actively involved teaching Sabbath school and finance committee and church board and all those various things there. And up until that time, I pretty much lived my life in pretty significant large Adventist communities. Loma Linda, La Sierra, PUC, Sacramento. And where Adventism is pretty comfortable. You have pretty good preachers, and you have schools, and you have social networking systems. And I really hadn't been stretched by the Lord all that far yet. And I was still, when I look back, fairly spiritually immature. But then I went through kind of an eye-opening culture shock, going to a small Adventist church, which I'm convinced God allowed, where I was introduced full force to intense legalism and perfectionism and what that can do to a church. As an example, there was an individual who's kind of a lightning rod in the church, and I remember I had some conversations with him, and he would tell me, Bill, he says, if you're a good Adventist, and he would be quoting from Ellen White, he says, you will become perfect. And I'd say, well, you know, I believe that over time, you know, we're going to become more spiritually mature, and that we should hopefully have more fruits of the Spirit, but I'm fairly certain, in my own opinion, we're still going to have a sin nature on this earth. And he'd say, nope, you know what? If you're growing, you will become absolutely perfect in your conduct here. Well, as a result of some attitudes and other things like that that were going on in the church, we went into 5 years of firestorms and some of the most mean-spirited things I had ever heard in my life in a church congregation. We went through just angry full church meetings and church board meetings that were just vicious, and a church split, and emergency conference meetings there over the years, and former pastor just taking on and ripping apart a present pastor, and a divorce of the pastor, and just there was just a series of things. And it was actually was unbelievable to me, and it was fairly brutal and spiritually and emotionally very draining for my wife and I. And I know others in the congregation. And as a result of that, Sally and I, we pulled back. We actually stopped going to the church temporarily at first, which went on for about 9 months' time. We could just feel ourselves kind of spiritually being crushed with what was going on there and the dysfunctions. And but over the course of those months, we could tell something was missing. We were missing the warmth of fellowship. And God was tugging at us that time, very quietly but surely. And I'd never been hardly ever in a non-Adventist church, much less attended one on a regular basis. And Sally and I, as the months went on, we said, you know, should we give this a shot? Should we try going to a non-Adventist church? And that was just, it was really foreign. And we knew we couldn't handle going on Sunday mornings to church. We just felt that was just too much like the mark of the beast. I mean, that was too heavy for us. And so we looked around and we said, let's find some churches that have a Saturday night service. You know, at least it's the right day, but if we could get Saturday night, maybe we can do that. And so we found a church and we went for a couple of months, and then they stopped the service. So then we found another church that had a Saturday night service, and we went for a couple months, and they stopped their Saturday night service. And we were down to one church left in town that had a Saturday night service. And aren't we glad that God is patient with us? I mean, amen to that. And so we said, okay, let's go to this church. Let's try it. And at first, we would go, and we would leave. I mean, we would hardly talk to anybody, because this was, I remember it just was so strange, even just being in another church's sanctuary. And but we were amazed because the people were friendly. And, you know, there was a Christian warmth to them. And, you know, we were listening carefully to the sermons. And, you know, they were very biblical. When you go to the references and we'd say, okay, I want to check this out. And we'd say, okay, you know what, that's out of the Bible. And I know that's something that we should expect. And but, you know, and it was a struggle to us because but they aren't part of the remnant here. You know, and how is this working out? And it was that time we were kind of searching and starting to, over that time, starting to read the Bible more. And we said, okay, I want to read through the Bible without Ellen White's interpretation. Actually, I got out some other commentaries, Zondervan and others, and we're just, you know, some years were going by. And there was one sermon in particular that got our attention. It was on Daniel. And for those of you, you know, PC, Lost, other places, Daniel and Revelation, you know, that's very hardcore stuff. And so, you know, Sal and I are going, well, this should be interesting. And I remember the words of the preacher well. And he got up and he said, I want you to know I studied this extensively. I'm going to give you my best shot. I think this is biblical. But I'm not going to tell you this is the end-all and be-all. I want you to go study in the scriptures yourself. And I remember Sally and I, our heads, we just kind of went boom to each other. And we were talking about it afterwards, and we were saying, you know, it was really refreshing because we're so used to hearing when you're talking about Daniel and Revelation, this is the interpretation. This is what you need to take from this, and this is what it means. And to actually have a pastor say, I want you to go study more, and I think this is really good stuff. And that really was one of those defining moments for us that we go, all right, you know, this is some good stuff. And we felt that we were really growing. Simultaneously, with all this, God being God, even though this was simultaneous, he was not content to just hit us with kind of one barrel of his shotgun. He had another area to hit us with because he knew that I was kind of stubborn and was still working on this. And so they said simultaneously with this, was still doing work for the, represent the whole healthcare system at Loma Linda and with the firm. And a significant part of my work was advising the Board of Trustees. And the makeup of the Board of Trustees in that involves really the highest level of the General Conference and that the Adventist Church. I mean, it's working with the President of the General Conference and the other officers and division presidents and union presidents and conference presidents and officers. It's a big group of people. And so I really worked extensively with them for about 2 decades. And a lot of fascinating experiences with that. But it led me to a few observations at the same time. One was, when we talk about the doctrine of the remnant in the Adventist Church, that we have the truth and no one else does, that it's exclusive with us. One of the things that I really saw as a result of that, I think it was almost a trap at times for church leaders, because it became very hard for them to ever admit mistakes or that they were wrong. Because if you do, and you're the head of the remnant, well, it kind of takes away from the whole aura of the remnant, because if you got the truth, how can you be wrong? Another observation I had is that the Adventist Church is a very strong hierarchy from the top down, and also a lot of politics that goes on with the church, probably far more than a lot of people would understand. What the top dogs say is really what goes, and pastors and employees are very much expected to follow the company line. And it's not that surprising when you think about the history of the Adventist Church, because when you go back, and I remember reading through the testimonies, another thing of Ellen White, who we all know really was significant in the founding of the church, you know, if many occasions there, if someone disagreed, they got a pretty good roasting. I mean, so there was kind of a tradition of that hey, if the leadership was speaking, in fact, somewhat ironically, I always thought that the similarities between Catholicism and Adventism in that regard and some others, a lot of extra-biblical stuff, I thought that was somewhat ironic because you know that as an Adventist, as a good Adventist, you always heard about the problems with Catholicism and Sunday laws which were coming and other things. And so As a result of those things I was talking about, though, with the hierarchy of the Adventist Church, one of the other things I saw is that independent thought was really not encouraged. In fact, if you truly had a lot of independent thought, that made you dangerous. That's why when I hear stories and experiences of people like Dale Retzlaff and Mark Martin, the Tinkers, Greg Taylor, it really rings with authenticity for me, as it resonates with my own experiences and things that I saw with church leadership. I had one story that happened many years ago, and I won't name the names on it, but it was a situation that there were some very controversial issues that we were dealing with, and we at the firm, we had to give a very difficult but firm legal opinion on this particular issue, and I was in a meeting with three of the top church leaders, and it was a very intense meeting for about 3 hours about the position we had taken, and one of the key leaders, he turned to me about halfway through it, and he said, "Bill, if you were a pastor and you had given me that opinion, I would have been very, very disappointed with you." And I remember just what came out is they said, "But I'm not a pastor. I'm a lawyer, and you pay me to defend the institutions." I knew what he had meant by his comment, because I knew the individual fairly well, and that what he was really saying is if I would have been a pastor, it would have been unacceptable for me to express such an independent opinion to him or to others of the church brethren. Eventually, after almost 20 years of working with the church brethren, that working relationship came to an end. But through our experiences that God had allowed us at the local church level, in seeing things with some of the highest church leadership, through Bible study, the things God had fully awakened me and made it clear that it was really time to leave the Adventist Church. It wasn't until recently that I formally tendered my resignation to the Adventist Church. It was one I always said, "I'm going to come back to it, I'm going to do that." But God had said, "Hey, it's time to do it." And I just was going to share just a few excerpts of things that I had in my letter. Through a number of interesting circumstances, God led me to study the Scriptures in much greater detail than I had ever previously in my life, and to study them without using Ellen White, to really search the claims of Adventism. Could they be supported? Through this lengthy and oftentimes painful but enlightening process, I came to a number of conclusions. First, and this one took me so long to ever get this in my mind. If I am saved solely through my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, who died to pay the price for my sins, as the Bible so clearly and repeatedly states, then keeping the Sabbath, which is such a preeminent doctrine of the Adventist Church, cannot save me. If it could, I would be able to save myself through my works, and the Scriptures are so clear that that is not possible. In turn, there is nothing in Scriptures which identifies the Sabbath as the seal of God, but in contrast, it's clear that the sealing of the Holy Spirit is based upon an individual's absolute loyalty to God. Second, I have come to realize that any denomination which holds that an individual is a prophet, outside of the prophets clearly revealed in Scripture, and accordingly gives the beliefs, writings of that individual equal weight, or in some cases higher weight, then the Bible is a cult. The SDA Church has clearly done that with Ellen White. And as difficult as it was for myself to admit it without realizing it, I had been a member of a cult for many years. Third, the investigative judgment, supposedly one of the pillars of the SDA Church, is not supportable when you carefully study the Scriptures in their entirety. It is a horrendous doctrine which robs the genuine believer of any assurance of salvation. It is a works-based doctrine and leads to constant questioning whether an individual has been good enough to survive the judgment. Last, the claim of the SDA Church that it is a remnant cannot be found or supported by any objective reading of the Holy Scriptures. I have come to see how exclusive and arrogant that claim is, and how demeaning it is to the body of Christ to take that position. Some months ago, God led us, my wife, my family, and I, to move up to Spokane and guide us through looking at many churches to a wonderful Christian church up in northern Spokane, Crossover. And he's brought me and my wife into the full freedom of the gospel and the absolute assurance that I am saved and I have been sealed by the Holy Spirit. And no one, no demon, no person, no false doctrine, no legalism can separate me from the love, the eternal love of my Savior and God. Thank you.